Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As we look at the markets today, and kind of a quieter trade day, and as Sue Martin is joining me with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa, you kind of hit it on the head. I think a lot of folks watching what was going to happen with the eclipse, maybe they're getting ready for the final game for the March Madness, but there's so many factors that just didn't appear today, and it's kind of a quieter Monday trade, which is okay once in a while, but that makes you wonder what Tuesday's going to bring, Sue.
Well, it does. I mean, we've been very quiet in the markets today. You know, when I look at cattle, we've been back and forth, and, you know, went lower, higher, and then lower on the feeders while the fats managed to maintain a stronger close. So I look at the feeder cattle, and I technically, they are one, both fats and feeders, but especially feeders. My indicators are sitting at 1% on both my floater and timer. Those are proprietary. And the Trix is kind of gone neutral from a very low level, so it'll turn positive. But the Elliott wave shows that we are pushing a small Elliott wave C and a large wave 4, which should also indicate that there's a little bit of a rally going to try to come here. And hopefully it's price improvement and not just marking time going sideways. But I think the key here is, you know, the media of what they're saying about the bird flu and the influence on meat. You know, MSN carried an article, and they were saying what you need to know about eating meat during the bird flu outbreak. And, you know, talking about there have been concerns about safety of produce when it affected affected the cows and the hens. And it was chickens that they were most concerned about because chickens died from it. And then they put down the rest of the chickens, where in cattle, in bovine, they tend to be getting over it in about 2 weeks. And so they're not putting animals down and trying to work with it. But the fact that it jumped to humans, I think, has also maybe caused a little bit of a surprise and a different twist, except that we have to keep in mind that back in 1996-97, when avian bird flu broke out in China, it did also impact some people, too, that had been working in the poultry farms. And so it jumped to humans then. So this shouldn't come as a surprise. I think the surprise is it jumped from birds over to cattle and bovine. And I think that is more of the surprise. So, you know, whenever you have something like this, it creates a lot of uncertainty and what have you. You know, the New York Times had an article where they talked about how, you know, they did a nice job of explaining the virus and matches perfectly to, you know, what's coming next. And the title of their article was, "Is Bird Flu Coming to People Next?" And so, you know, it's just, we're in some interesting times because it seems like we've got a lot of viruses after the pandemic and how they're all mutating and jumping to different things so easily. I think it leaves a little bit of air of uncertainty over the cattle market. But for now, I think another thing that's affecting the fat market, even though packers are trying to get cattle bought, you know, they've cut some kills. And also, cattle are weighing more. The carcasses are 29 pounds heavier than they were a year ago. And so that helps compensate for less numbers because we're feeding cattle heavier, and the weather has been absolutely ideal for cattle. It's also been very ideal for the cow-calf person for having calves. And so I think that for now the market lifts. But I would say be very cautious, and on rallies of correction here through the rest of April, I would be more than suggest, I guess I shouldn't say it that way, I should be suggesting that one should maybe be looking at making sure they have some price protection.
You know, and I found it interesting as I was doing some reading this morning, and I wrote down this comment, but last week we saw an 820 drop when they looked at the cattle futures. Are the specs still nervous about being long cattle at this point?
I think they have been. What we're catching is fund liquidation, these AI-generated trading systems, what have you. And when they sell aggressively hard. And, of course, we have bird flu now in at least 6 states. And so I think it is something that is hanging over this market. But I think it's just a little more than that. They're saying low-income people are not spending near the money in the grocery store. Maybe they're cutting their proportions. You know, maybe they're trying to go more vegetables, or, you know, fish is expensive too. So I would say that when it comes to meat demand, you know, we should be looking at that we're going to have a good grilling season this year, and that should be positive for beef, but our stocks in the coolers are very low compared to a year ago. And I guess I just look at what's going on in this market, and you know, something just doesn't seem right with it. And my indicators are my longer-term indicators. Last September, at the end of September, 1st of October, I had 2 out of 3 go negative. I would have never guessed the market would break like it did, but 2 out of 3 went negative. The third one is now indicating it's going to go negative too. But we have a little time on it that it has to confirm. Well, that concerns me, because that then implies that our seasonality, that normally prices decline through summer into August, maybe could go all the way into September, is probably what we're going to see this year.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to look at as we get ready for the second half of the Channel Final Bell. We come back, we'll take a look at what's been kind of the movers and shakers of this grain complex. As we know, the soybeans ended up finishing down the negative today, though wheat and corn were the upside. Is the wheat one pulling everybody along? We'll find out more details. Stick around. It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No Seed Company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back now to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as our conversation continues with Sue Martin of Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. Let's switch gears and head over to the livestock side. Is the wheat kind of the one that's pulling everybody along? I mean, they've had a great couple of trading opportunities, and we saw it again today.
Well, I think the wheat market has been showing there's been a lot of spreading going on between Chicago wheat and KC wheat. Normally, KC wheat holds a pretty good premium to Chicago. And lately, they've been fairly close. Now the KC's starting to pull away again. And so that makes me think that KC wheat's a little undervalued. And then you look at the weather in the Black Sea region, and both Russia and Ukraine are seeing above normal temps and less rainfall in the areas for like corn and where wheat would be grown. And then you've got India, who's up their imports, but yet looking at what should be good production, and yet the Millers Association, Flour Millers Association, came out and stated that they thought India's wheat production this year would be 105 million metric tons, and the government's standing at 112. So, and so far, with the harvest starting in India for their wheat crop, it's not really affecting the prices at all. So the demand is going up, and I think India is another country that's building reserves and feeling like that just-in-time inventorying isn't the cat's meow anymore. And so they're trying to build reserves, but demand is also increasing, even if they are increasing in production. But at 105 million metric tons, that's 7 million metric tons under the guess of by the government. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, and you look at the fact that this whole situation with Russia and the hold that they had on those barges leaving with grain in it just shows the geopolitical that just won't go away when you look at that area.
Well, that's exactly right. And then on top of it, you have the situation going on with Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. But then, you know, Iran, the concern that they may, you know, well, they probably will attack Israel at some point here. Originally, it was thought it would be within 48 hours, and that passed. But Israel is telling Iran, even though, yes, we bombed your embassy in Syria, you best not retaliate because that's going to ignite a whole lot more. And so, you know, the concern about the easy flow of food in that region, you know, they're big wheat users. And then on top of it, you also have big veg oil users too. So, you know, getting timely delivery of product, of food, it makes you wonder. I mean, we keep getting these little, how do I want to say it, not wars, but upheavals, maybe wars starting. You've got Sudan going. You've got Haiti going. You've got, you know, now the situation with Israel and the Hamas and Iran, who kind of backs the Hamas. And then you've got Ukraine, Russia, and it just makes you wonder who's going to pop up next. So the world's an uncertain place. And plus, on top of all of this, the global economy is starting to do better. And that means more demand for food. So I think we're looking at wheat as a market that it's been down. I mean, let's face it, it's over half the price of what it was just in, what, 21, 22. And I think that when I look at the wheat market here, you know, U.S. supplies or stocks are tight. You look at not only the U.S. being tight, but Canada's stocks are low. And then you look at Australia, and their stocks are not burdensome either. So, you know, if something happens to Russia and Ukraine in their production, especially Russia with wheat, well, that doesn't leave global supplies real easily accessed.
So we do have the weekly crop progress report. This is going to be week number two. And some think because of the weather we've had, especially to our neighbors to the south, we should see a big jump in the plantings. I know it was like 56% last week. We could see a bigger jump coming out of states like Texas, for example. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you can see a jump. The only thing is if you move a little bit more eastward, then it's not so easy because they continue to get rain and they're in the forecast for continued rain. So I think that, yes, we're picking up in our planting progress. And of course, you know, this afternoon we'll have, the planting progress out and some, down the road here we'll have crop conditions. We'll get condition ratings on the wheat. But I think the concern's going to be, how well do we get into our planting season? Farmers are ready. You know, Nebraska farmers, they're really ready. Iowa farmers are getting ready, but they're not as far along as Nebraska is. And we have rain in the forecast up until about, oh, maybe the middle of this month.
So what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you, Sue?
Well, our number's 1-800-527-0051. And I want to wish you all a great day.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.